Our study tonight is out of the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 24a. The blessing of staying right with God amid apostasy. As believers living in a spiritually decaying, godless culture, we need to live affirmatively in victory over sin. Daniel, as a young man, was taken captive by godless Babylonians, and he lived through Persia's conquest of Babylon, righteously and wisely serving the Lord in a godless culture, as a great example for us. So we view Daniel 9, 1 to 24 on the blessing of staying right with God amid apostasy. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Daniel 9, 1 through 24a. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books, the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments. We've sinned, we've committed iniquity and have done wickedly. We've rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces at this day. As to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, all the countries whither thou hast taken them, driven them, because of the trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even thy departing, and they that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that is written of the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obey not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought us thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with thy mighty hand and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we've sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy Jerusalem, city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because for our sin and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and the supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes, and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people that are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening sacrifice, that'd be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I'm come now forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 77s, literally, are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make a reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy, which I believe should be the most holy place. Okay, we previously learned that the Daniel chapters 7 through 12 visions describe challenges God's people would face after Daniel's era under future godless empires until the arrival of Christ's kingdom. Couched in this section of such visions is a great lesson on the blessing of staying right with God amid apostasy that even we face. So we view that lesson in Daniel 9, 1-24 for our insight and edification. Daniel's great prayer of confession in Daniel chapter 9, 3-19, was preceded by his reading of Jeremiah chapter 25, 11 and 12, and Jeremiah 29, 10, that predicted that Israel's captivity in Babylon would last for 70 years. Now, from the Mosaic law, Daniel knew that this 70-year time period fulfilled Leviticus chapter 26, verses 33-35, where Moses had predicted back in 1450 BC that were Israel ever taken captive from her land in God's discipline, she must stay in captivity for the same number of years that she had failed to observe her land Sabbath years that were to be observed every seventh year. In other words, every seventh year the land was supposed to lie fallow. It was not supposed to be sowed, and the people were just supposed to live off the land. And God had promised that in the sixth year he would give them a big bumper crop so that that could last them through that seventh year, and then they'd be able to sow in the next year, and then they would be able to finally begin reaping in the second year. But Israel had not kept any of her land Sabbaths for 490 years. She'd been in the land for 490 years after Joshua had brought them into the land. And for 490 years, they had not kept their land Sabbaths. Well, guess what? 490 years, if you divide that by 7, you come up with 70. So there were 70 land Sabbaths that they'd skipped. So God says, all right, you skipped 70 land Sabbaths. You're going to stay in Babylon until those 70 land Sabbaths are fulfilled. That's why the year 70. It's all biblical. So they missed 70 years worth of land Sabbaths. So she was destined of God to stay in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. Here's the reason why God does everything. Everything in his timeline has a purpose. So Daniel knew that the first year of Darius, which was 538 BC, which is 67 years after he had gone into captivity, the time was near for the end of Israel's Babylonian captivity. It was just 2.5, maybe at the most 3 years off. So God in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 40 and 45, had directed that Israel needed to confess her sins to be restored to the land following national captivity. So guess what? Daniel was busy doing exactly what Moses had directed. He was busy confessing the sins of Israel so that they could be restored from the land of Babylon back to their own country. This is very important. I'll read this. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 40. And this is Moses predicting, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, that they have also walked contrary to me, and that I've also walked contrary, and that I also have walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, also my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember, and I will remember the land. And the land shall be left desolate of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbath while she lies desolate without them. And they accept their punishment of their iniquity, because even because they despise my judgments, and because of this, their soul abhorred my statutes. So God said, I will remember the land, and the implication he's going to bring them back. So that's what Daniel was busy doing. Daniel was a man of God, and he was a Hebrew who understood the scriptures, and he was seeking to obey the Lord. He was seeking to be righteous as a man of God, and that's why he was praying what he was doing. Now, Daniel was part of a theocracy. That's different than what we have today. If we were in a theocracy today, let's say the church, Nipog Church, was in a particular sin, even though you weren't guilty of that sin, then you would be responsible before the Lord to pray and confess the sin of Nipog Church. But that's not the way it works in the church era. In the church era, everyone has his own individual accountability before the Lord. So we can't confess anyone else's sin. But in a theocracy, that's the way it worked. So Daniel is part of Israel. Israel as a nation had sinned, so Daniel takes it upon himself, assumes the responsibility to confess the sins of his nation, being part of the theocracy. So he was not personally responsible for the sins of the idolatry of Israel. He was part of the nation, so it had sinned, so he prayed confessing the sins. Now there are two major segments of this confession. Throughout the confession, Daniel repeatedly admitted that Israel had sinned against the Lord, not heeding his prophets, and that the nation had deserved the punishment of God. This must have been a tremendous delight to God. Not that God delights in people being sinful, but here's a man who's facing up to the sins of the nation, and he says, God, we have blown it big time. We've ignored your prophets. You've been merciful towards us. You've been given us a lot of time. We mess up. But in contrast, Daniel pointed out that God was perfectly righteous, and he had long called Israel to repent. And upon not getting that response, the Lord had eventually sent the nation into captivity. This comes up in verses 4 and 7 and 9, verses 14 and 15. It goes on and on. He points out the tremendous mercy of God. In liberal theology, there's a big charge that's made that the God of the Old Testament is a God of judgment, whereas the God of the New Testament is a God of mercy. That's not true. The God of the Old Testament is just as merciful as the God of the New Testament. In fact, the God of the New Testament, we're taught in Hebrews chapter 10, our God is a consuming fire, the New Testament God. But here's God. He was merciful, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited, and he warned, and he warned, like he really didn't want to judge the people. But finally, when they just were beyond the point of no return, he finally lowered the boom. So, after his confession, Daniel asked God to end his punishment and restore Israel to her land in verses 16 to 19. Now, while Daniel was giving his great prayer and his confession and his petition, God sent the angel Gabriel to touch him about the time of the 3 p.m. evening sacrifice in Jerusalem. Now, remember, the sacrifices and the sacrificial system hadn't been practiced for 67 years because Daniel, well, it had been practiced, Daniel had missed it, but it hadn't been practiced for a number of years after that. But the angel of the Lord is still cognizant, and he's still coming at the time of this practice, of this service that would normally occur at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So God's very, very, very consistent with his own time. Then Gabriel told Daniel that he'd been sent to give him insight and understanding that when Daniel had first begun to appeal for the mercy of God, the word from God had gone forth that Gabriel was to come to give Daniel this insight, for Daniel was highly beloved of the Lord. Now, I think this is amazing because the word had gone out from God immediately, but God hadn't caused him to fly swiftly. It's like the Lord said, wait a minute, I want to hear this confession. I love this so much. Let me hear it. So he waits for Daniel to do the confession. So as Daniel's confessing it, then God says, all right, go quickly. And so Gabriel comes quickly. So in other words, God was delighted in Daniel's prayer of confession and supplication. And he highly loved this man for his great desire and effort by his prayer to be and to stay righteous before the Lord. When God's people really seek to live for the Lord, really seek to be righteous or to stay righteous or to get righteous with him, that is something that is very delightful for God. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our limitations. He knows that we have sin natures. He knows our vulnerability to Satan and the world. But boy, when we really seek the Lord and seek to align ourselves with him, he loves it, absolutely loves it. Thereupon, Gabriel said that God had decreed, literally, 77s. It doesn't say 70 years in the Hebrew, 77s. That they are to occur for Daniel's Hebrew people and the holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin. Now we're dealing with the end times. To atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And it could be the most holy one, but I think it's probably the most holy place. That would be the temple in the Messianic kingdom. So this prophecy is highly informative, both for Daniel and for believers down through history, beyond even our time, and into the Great Tribulation. It's interesting when Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, is predicting the Great Tribulation that is to come. He refers to Daniel 9:27, which is part of this vision. And he says, when you see the abomination of desolation sitting in the place where it's not supposed to be, that's in the holiest of holies in the temple, then be aware of the fact that this is a problem and you're supposed to get out of the city of Jerusalem because the Antichrist is going to be coming after them with tremendous persecution. So Daniel 9:27, and I didn't bother going into the rest of the chapter or the vision itself because it is absolutely jam-packed full of tremendous information. We'll have to cover that next week. Hopefully we can get it all in, because it's fascinating. It actually predicts the death of Jesus Christ. It's just an amazing prophecy. And the timing of Christ's entry into the city of Jerusalem, all of that. But anyway, 77s. Now the 77s are defined by the context as the 77s of the land Sabbaths that Daniel had considered back in Daniel chapter 9:2. Remember Daniel 9:2, where he understood from the books that they were supposed to accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Why the 70 years? Because they messed up on 77s. So, since they'd messed up with 77s, there's going to be another 77. So just as Israel had experienced 490 years under God's rule of her as a nation in her land, she would experience another 490 years in that land under God's rule, namely another set of 77s, before the institution of the Messianic kingdom. This is tremendous insight because it gives us the actual timeline of what's going to happen and when. And the wording there is very, very interesting. And this is one reason, one of the many reasons why I'm premillennial and pre-tribulational in theology. Very, very firmly, because this the timeline here is laid out. So this news was a great divine reward of insight to Daniel for his evident effort to stay upright before God. And not only is it an insight for Daniel, it's a tremendous insight for us. When the Apostle John gets into the prediction of the Great Tribulation in Revelation, that Great Tribulation fits the timeline of Daniel to a T. And it actually develops it and broadens upon it. Without Daniel's prophecy, the vision that the angel Gabriel gave Daniel at this point in Daniel 9:24-27, it would be hard for us possibly to even make sense of all of the revelation. But this is a tremendous thing that God did. So it was a great divine reward of insight to Daniel for his evident effort to stay upright before God. Shows how much God appreciated this. He said, we're going to give this man insight like nobody's had before him. And we're going to give him insight that's so important, you can build all future prophecy on it. And I'm going to do this for this dear man because of what he's doing. He's confessing the sins of Israel. So for practicing righteousness in his prayer of confession and supplication in a spiritually difficult era, Daniel was richly blessed with great insight for him and for all saints on the timeline of the Messianic kingdom. So may we, like Daniel, practice righteousness before God for his rich blessings in our apostate era.